4 score and 7 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty, and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain. That this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Justice Revolution. I'm your host, James the Patriot. I have with me my ever so faithful co-host, Justice and Erica. Say hello, guys.
Hey, guys.
Good morning, everyone.
So for those of you listening, you just heard the Gettysburg Address as read by Max McLean. I was wondering whose voice that was. Yeah. You know, I hear his voiceover in a number of other videos that I listen to, namely the And We Know videos. Mm-hmm. So now I know. I also have with us today two very special guests. I have my daughter, 16-year-old Izzy. Say hello, Izzy.
Hi.
And Erica's son, Andrew, 14-year-old, right, Andrew?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Awesome. So Erica and I and Justice have been thinking it would be a lot of fun to have our kids on so we can discuss some things. And we wanted to go over a number of other things, but really what's just going on right now, just to get their thoughts on what they're seeing in this crazy world we live in, their thoughts on the Gettysburg Address. So let's just start there. What did you guys think? Izzy, Andrew, what did you guys think of what you just heard and what was just read? Well, first of all, let me ask this. Do you guys know what happened at Gettysburg?
Not really, no.
No?
Andrew? That was going to be my question. Did they ever hear that before?
Andrew, do you know what happened there?
I can't remember it.
Yeah, I can't remember. I know I just learned about it, but I can't remember.
No, not a problem at all. So the Gettysburg was one of the worst battles that was fought during the American Civil War. It took place, let me make sure I have this correct because dates always elude me, July 1st through the 3rd, 1863. Okay, so from July 1st to July 3rd in 1863, there was a three-day battle between the North and the South. So the North forces were commonly referred to as the Union Army or the Union forces, and the South was the Confederate Army or the Confederate forces. Okay. So that's what happened. Now, the reason why Gettysburg is such a monumental battle is because the number of killed, wounded, and or missing or captured was astronomical. More men died in those 3 days than in any other battle in American history, even still to this day. So let me just tell you. Let me get my calculator out here because it doesn't give them both. But the total casualties on the Union side was 23,049. The total casualties on the Confederacy was 28,063. So a little more than 50,000 people were killed, wounded, or missing or captured. That's how many men died there. Not 50,000 people died, but an insane amount of people. So what happened later on in that year was President Lincoln, in November of, in November 19th, 1863. So about four or five months ish after the battle, he gave the Gettysburg Address. What's interesting about the Gettysburg Address is that's the most famous part of the Gettysburg Address, but it really wasn't the actual address given, if that makes sense. There was there were remarks that were given by the Honorable Edward Everett, who was serving as a U.S. House of Representatives. He gave a two-hour address. So his speech was 2 hours long, 13,607 words. And then after that, they sang a hymn, and then Abraham Lincoln gave that famous address, which from what we know, he spent maybe 15, 20 minutes writing while he was on the train from Washington, D.C. To Gettysburg. So that's the backstory. Make sense?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is the part where if I'm saying make sense, I need people to talk.
Oh, yeah, because it's a podcast, too.
Yeah, make sense? Okay, cool. All right, so there's a few things about this speech that a lot of people don't understand. The first one is the very first line of the speech where he says 47 years ago. Do you guys have any idea what that means? Andrew, do you know what that means, 47 years ago?
I looked it up like a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I was actually reading part of it and I wondered what that meant. Isn't it? I don't remember.
No, you're good. You're all good. That's why we're here is the whole reason why I do this podcast, why we do this broadcast is for education. So this is important to know. So a score, commonly referred to as time, made up 20 years. So one score was 20 years. So if it's 4 score, that'd be 2, 4, 6, 8. So that'd be 80 years. So when he says 47 years ago, that would be 87 years. So when he gave the speech, 87 years prior to that was when the Declaration of Independence was issued. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Clear as mud?
Yeah. Oh,
okay. Fine. There's some things in this speech that I want to highlight that I feel like they play a major role in where we are with our nation today. Some things that he talked about.
It's quite relevant, isn't it?
Oh, it's very relevant. I mean, even in the first line where he says, "Our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal." When you guys hear that, what do you guys think? And this is just a question for anybody, not just for Izzy and Andrew, but this is a question for anybody. When you hear that the proposition that all men are created equal, what comes to mind?
Well, for me, it's, you know, under God. So it's, you know, it's hard living in America when you've grown up that way and you pretty mm-hmm. much have experienced equality, especially from I grew up in New York. So as a multicultural place, I never experienced the racism and all this crazy stuff they're talking about. And when you can see what's going on in other worlds, in other countries, more so with the advent of social media, you realize just how much freedom we have. And, you know, and the last few years really brings that home with we are mm-hmm. created equal, you know, whether these social classes, these ruling political classes and all of this, primarily, it just rings so true to me for that because of the oppression they're trying to put forth on whomever they choose these last few years.
Well, I would say, what are we seeing in our, what's the prevalent idea in our society right now is division. They are exactly, they are pressing the idea that there is a minority group that is oppressed.
Yeah.
And that they're not being treated equally and that they should be treated equally. But by doing that, they are creating massive amounts of division amongst everyone else.
Yeah, they've created it for sure.
Yeah. So, Andrew, I see you shaking your head. Are you seeing stuff like this? Is this something that you're seeing?
Oh, for sure. And it's just a distraction to kind of chase people away from actually researching like what's going on, because they're so focused on all the other stuff that's going on in the world, like the oppression of the minority groups.
Yeah.
It's really just a distraction for people, and I see it all the time,
to avoid uniting against the common enemy of us all. But right. I think about too, it's about sovereignty when you're talking about being created equal,
mm-hmm.
that if we are able to self-govern, then we can stand in our rights to not allow anyone else here on this earth to have authority over us. And that's kind of what I've been seeing too, is that the people that are pretending to be our government right now pretend to have an authority over us that is false. And that creates an unequal situation. So to go back to things being equal establishes our sovereignty.
And the only one who has authority over me is my God in heaven.
Good.
Nobody else should have authority over me because I am my one person. I respect my mother.
I was going to say, hold on that. Hold that thought. Your mom's sitting right there.
Your mother, intermittently, your mother.
Yeah, my chart goes God, mother, everything else.
Good for you. Good for you. Izzy, let me ask you then, are you seeing any of this kind of stuff at school or even on social media? Or I know you've been like you're really into you know, the social scene as far as like attending concerts and going to things with friends. I know you spent some time earlier this year down in central Utah for especially for youth type thing. So what are you seeing?
Personally, I'm not seeing anything like where I'm living. It's all on social media and I feel like it's all like almost fake and made up. Like mm-hmm. when I go to like all these concerts, everyone just like loves each other and everyone's just having the time of their life. And when I went to the church thing this summer, everyone just became instant friends. There was no bullying. There was no harassing. Like everyone just loved each other. And so I've never actually really seen it. But when I get on social media, I'll see people saying that our world has issues and everybody is racist. But those who's like the people that they're saying are being treated unequally, I've seen videos of them saying, no, you guys are making this up. Like, we are not being treated differently. Like, you guys mm-hmm. are creating the issue in your head. So I don't know. Personally, I've never really seen anything.
I think, you know, to her point, I think we're kind of sheltered here in our little corner of where we live.
For sure.
But don't worry, it's coming. I mean, that's the sad part. It's coming. I mean, where Justice lives, you know, she's south of us, but we're already seeing craziness there. Go down the canyon into the Salt Lake Valley, it's craziness there. We're seeing this. Justice, do you have that video I was telling you about that you posted in the affidavits chat?
I do.
Because I think this is a good time to bring this up. And then also, if time permits, I do have an update in my property tax case. So I do want to get to that. But I feel like this is important. Izzy and Andrew have, they got to get to some classes here in a little while. So we want to take advantage of their time while they're with us. But let's play this video because this, I think it really touches on the point that Erica made about these government officials who think they have authority over us. You're going to love this video. It's only a few minutes long, but when you've got that, Eric, Justice, let us know. Okay, let's go. Let's take a listen to this, and then I'm going to get Izzy's and Andrew's thoughts on this video after we're done.
All right, here we go.
I call myself a Republican. Now, someone wants to say, well, Simon, you're a radical Republican. I'm like, now that's a label I can get my head around. Why? Because this country was founded by radical Republicans. It wasn't founded by liberals or conservatives. It was founded by radical Republicans. Who said, give me liberty or give me death?
I'm here to speak today. I believe, Gary, you said it was item KKK in the agenda book. Well, isn't that just a perfect, perfect summation of what it is I'm here to talk about? KKK, your proposed new school board policy, seeking once again to limit the constitutionally protected speech of American citizens. Now, you snowflakes apparently have a bigger problem with public comment. It seems to me that you think you can supersede the United States Constitution. Well, I've got news for you, school board president Benito Mussolini. Your power does not supersede that of the US Constitution and the First Amendment rights of the citizens of this great nation. Let's be very, very clear who has the power.
Mr. Campbell,
it is not government policy. Do not
warn
me or
do not
interrupt my time.
That if you make personal insults like that again, or if you personally direct your comments, you will be asked to step away from the podium.
I'm going to quote
you,
Solicitor.
Make your comments,
I'm
but
quoting,
do not
just
do name
do not
calling
talk
like
over
you
me.
Just did.
This is my comment, not your comment. I'm quoting to you now from the United States Supreme Court 1964 case, New York Times versus Sullivan. This is constitutional case law in this country. This nation is founded on the, quote, profound national commitment to the principle that debate on public issues shall be uninhibited, robust, and wide open, and that it may well include vehement, caustic, and sometimes unpleasantly sharp attacks on government and public officials. That's constitutional case law in this nation. I don't have to be nice to you. Nobody behind me has to be nice to you. If you don't like living in the United States of America, then you can all move to Russia, Cuba, or China. This is the First Amendment. And I will caution you, Solicitor. There is a video camera to my left. If you edit this tape, then you're going to have a big legal problem on your hands, because my right to critique your fascism, which is what this is constitutionally protected. I want all of you to tender your resignations for hating on this country. We have a God-given constitutional right to critique you, and we can speak in any lawful tone that we see fit, because this is the United States of America.
Yeah.
Eric, I just see your face. I mean, that's like, for those of you who are listening on our podcast, you really got to watch and just watch Erica's reactions, because it's hilarious.
That guy was my spirit animal.
That's yeah, he was.
I was just like, he says everything that I say all the time. I'm like,
Did you see the looks of that lady when he called her Benito Mussolini?
If she even knew who that was. Just because they're on the school board does not mean that they know history or know anything.
They don't have a clue.
Even public school teachers, I realized how much they don't know. We saw that with the backpack kid. She didn't know her history either.
She hadn't got a clue. She thought that the Gadsden flag, the Don't Tread on Me, was associated with racism and slavery. It was nothing. It was further from the, nothing could have been further from the truth.
If one thing, it certainly opened up the myriad of parents' eyes to the lack of.
Oh my goodness!
What's teaching them?
And what I loved, I'm just going to give you my thoughts, and then I want to get Andrew's and Izzy's thoughts on this. what I loved about this guy was he was ready. He knew they were going to try and shut him down, and you could hear some guy, "Do not, personal insults will not be tolerated." Blah 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 blah. You know what? You guys don't get to make that decision. When you're a public servant, which anybody who is elected in an elected position, and then anyone who works underneath them as a supporting role, those are public servants. They work for us. Their only goal, their only job is to work for us and to protect our rights. Well, they have clearly forgotten that. And so when this guy tried to shut him down, he's like, hold that freaking thought, dude. I've got the Supreme Court case that says I can say whatever I want to say, and it might be robust and it might be offensive, but you got to sit there and take it.
Mm-hmm.
And they do. So, Andrew, what did you think of that?
Well, I thought it was kind of funny because they didn't know what to say. They just kind of sat there and took it. It's like,
did you see the lady puts her mask back over her face?
Yeah. And well, a lot of school corporations are corrupt.
Yes.
They're not teaching what they should be. And they're kind of limiting our unalienable rights. And I feel like that's one of the reasons why I left public school in the first place. It's because they were enforcing me to wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I don't want to do that because, you know, I have the right to breathe.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't take it. So I just kind of left and I'm back in now and everything's better, but it's still kind of like that.
Yeah. There's the little things that they want to try and do to get you to comply. It's the small little things.
Mm-hmm.
So like the whole that thing you were just talking about, like that was Izzy's eighth and ninth grade year, wasn't it, Izzy?
And part of seventh.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, guys. I'm struggling calling her Izzy. I never call her Izzy. So I am struggling doing this. She likes that name, but that's not what we call her. So anyway, so that was, you know, and in her case, what she ended up doing was just, you know, staying home and did classes here, which she still did really well. I mean, she's been able, again, I don't hold my children to this standard. I wouldn't care if they didn't get this standard, but because she is such a passionate individual for excellence, she's maintained a 4.0 grade average since she was in seventh grade. So I know. I mean, but like I said, I mean, if she didn't, it's not like I'm going to love her any less.
Right.
I don't care. I mean, I do. Education's important, but to a degree. And to your point, Andrew, here locally, we had a school district, not the one that Izzy is in, thankfully, but they're just as corrupt. We had a school district just to the south of us that removed the Bible from all of its school libraries because somebody complained that it was offensive.
Mm.
You should have seen the uproar about that. It's now been put back, but you should have seen the uproar that caused.
That's
so
great.
These are the things that these school boards and other people like this in a supposed position of authority, that this is what they do. They try to creep little things to get you to comply.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so what have we been taught our entire lives? We have been taught you obey anyone in an authority figure.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So let me ask you guys, Izzy, Andrew, who are people that you see as authority figures? Let's just name some right off the top.
God.
God. Okay. Izzy.
Parents.
Okay. Who else? In our society, just think big picture in our society.
Like according to everybody else? Or?
According to everybody else, yes.
Okay. Well, then I'm allowed to say the government.
Government officials. Okay. What about the guys that are in uniform? You know who I'm talking about?
Police.
There you go. Police, right? So do police officers, do they portray an authoritative figure? Like if you have some type of a interaction with law enforcement, doesn't it like, oh geez, I need to just do whatever they say, right? Isn't that what we've been taught?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Izzy, what have I told you? Because you just recently started driving. So what have I told you to do if you get pulled over?
I have the right to not say anything. I can, like, I don't have to answer their questions if I don't want to.
Right. So have I told you to be confrontational? Have I told you to say, you can't do this, you can't do this?
Not like in a rude way, but like let them know that I know my rights.
Good for you. Good for you. Right. So this is what we've said, right? If you get pulled over, the guy's going to come up and they're going to say license and registration, which I'm going on the record. Okay. This is on the record. You're hearing it. You're not hearing it here first, but you're hearing it from me. There is no law that requires those of us men and women to carry a license or register our car. But I've told you why I do it, because these law enforcement personnel are trained to hone in on people who don't. Okay. So if you get pulled over, they ask for your license and registration, hand that to them. And then sometimes typically they'll say something like some stupid question. Like, do you know why I pulled you over? Well, geez, cause I flipped you off. Yeah. No, I have no idea. You know, they'll say something like that.
They're right? Trying to trap you when they say that.
Yeah. Don't admit exactly what you were doing if you do know.
Exactly, right? So what have I told you to say, right? So if I'm the cop and I pull you over and I say, do you know why I pulled you over today? What's your answer going to be, Izzy?
No, sir, I do not.
Well, you can say...
No, I don't remember what you told me.
Yeah, so you can say, no, I don't. But you can also say, and this is what I would say, I'm going to turn around and go, I would say, officer, can anything I say be used against me?
That's right.
Right? Because what are they doing? They're conducting an investigation. They're trying to find proof that you committed some type of an infraction or a crime. Now, I'm getting off into the weeds here because the traffic citations and things like that, those are not technically crimes. They're infractions, which doesn't fall under criminal or civil. So you're just like left there scratching your head going, what is this all about? We've had some past episodes on this. If you guys have questions, go back and review it. But they're conducting an investigation. So we have a protected right against self-incrimination. That is enumerated in the Fifth Amendment to the United States Constitution. The right against self-incrimination. Basically, it says that no man shall be compelled to be a witness against him.
James, your microphone is acting up.
Again?
Nope, that's better.
Okay. Sorry.
That's all right. So
what'll happen is these officers are conducting an investigation. So if they come to, so if they pull me over and I'm driving and they come and say, do you know why I pulled you over? Or I pulled you over today because you were this. My answer is going to be, okay. And then if they ask me any kind of questions beyond my identity, my question to them is going to be, can anything I say be used against me? They must answer the question, and it always has to be a yes. If they answer no, they're lying through their teeth, and it must be a yes. So if they say yes, then my next response is, then I choose to remain silent. There's nothing.
They're not going to make their investigations easy. The burden of proof is on to them to try to prove that we've done something wrong. Good luck without us incriminating ourselves.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying is it's so important that we know and understand our rights. I mean, my kids, you know, Izzy's laughing. How many times do I talk about what amendment protects this and what amendment protects that, Isabel? Oh, sorry, Izzy. Ugh.
You can call me Isabel. I don't care.
Yeah, okay, fine. How many times? I'm sorry, I kind of cut out there.
A lot.
A lot to the point where you get annoyed with me?
A lot to the point where I kind of zone you out now.
Yeah.
Do you remember them is the question.
Yes, do you remember them? So
some of them, but not all of them.
All right, so let's see if you remember which amendment protects our right to keep and bear arms.
I don't know. You put me on the spot here, and I don't know.
You don't remember. Andrew, do you know?
The Second Amendment.
Nice. The Second Amendment. Yes. Okay. Let's try this one, and this might be an easier one for either one of you two. Which amendment protects our right to speak freely, just like that guy was to the school board? You guys remember? I'll give you a hint.
First.
Yeah, way to go. Yeah, the First Amendment. Now, this is what we try to do on this show. And by the way, I don't want anybody to feel like we're singling you out, or this is not meant to embarrass anyone. Okay, this is a learning experience for everyone. So please don't feel like if you don't know an answer to my question, that's okay. The purpose of this show is for education. Mm-hmm. There are 10 amendments. The first 10 amendments make up what's constantly known as the Bill of Rights. Our rights don't come from that piece of paper. Just like Andrew said earlier, our rights come from our Creator, from God. And we have so many rights that they couldn't be enumerated. They couldn't be written down. That's what enumerated means, is written down. If you look at the Ninth Amendment, which is my favorite by far, we talked about this in a couple episodes ago, where the Ninth Amendment states that there are other rights that the people have, but just because they're not written down here doesn't mean that they don't have them. So if I go anywhere, so to your point, Andrew, you said you had a right to breathe. Who told you have a right to breathe freely? You did. Right?
I kind of go to her for a lot of things.
Mom, do I have the right to breathe? Yes,
your right to breathe. Mom, I know you birthed me and everything, so I'm pretty sure you can take my life away as well, right? Is that how that? No, that's not how that works. No, that is not how that works. This is what I love about our rights, and what I love about the founding of our nation is so many things just are common sense. Isn't it just common sense that if God put us on this earth and he gave us a nose and a mouth that allows us to breathe oxygen freely, then why would we need to do anything else other than just that? Does that make sense to anybody?
Yeah.
They just want to control us.
That's what it is. Exactly. It's control. It is absolutely control. You guys, I'm here to tell you, again, my kids know this because I'm always talking about history, right? Isabel, what's my favorite subject?
History.
Yeah, I love history. History is my favorite subject. And the reason why is because those who do not understand their past are doomed to repeat it. What are we seeing today? We are seeing little bits and pieces of what was happening in 1920, I'd say late 1920s, early 1930s Germany. Do you guys know what happened in that time frame? Erica, Isabel, do you guys know? Or even Justice or Erica? Do you guys have
World
any ideas?
War II.
Yeah, but what was going on?
They were putting people in camps, work camps.
They were, but even before that, do you guys know what was going on?
Tell us, James.
So there was a big political movement, okay? And Hitler didn't just come to power, okay? He wasn't just like, they're like, well, hey, let's just put this guy into power.
Are you talking about the usurpation of their monetary system and the influx of pornography and debauchery, and Hitler said we're not going to have it? That kind of thing, yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, they won't teach you that in school for sure.
But here's what's interesting, though. Did you know this, that he initially was acting as if he supported that? Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, because they were, so that group was commonly known as the Brown Shirts. You ever hear that? The Brown Shirts?
Mm-hmm.
You guys ever hear that? So it was a political party known as the Sturmabteilung. Sturmabteilung, I'm not sure. SA. And it literally stood for, you guys ready for this? Storm Division or Stormtroopers. All right, Izzy and Andrew, you guys Star Wars fans?
I'm a big Star Wars fan. A
little bit.
What are the guys that wear the all white uniforms? What are they called?
Stormtroopers.
Stormtroopers. Okay. So they were the original paramilitary wing of the Nazi Party. They played a significant role in Hitler's rise to power in the 1920s and the 1930s. So their main focus was to disrupt things so much so that when they came in and disrupted things, Hitler did a complete 180 and said, I'm here to save you. And he had all of the top leaders of the Brown Shirts executed. But they did those little things like what you're just talking about, Justice, where they changed the monetary system. They introduced things that at the time were just like shocking, like pornography.
Right.
Pornography was not widely accepted at that time frame. I would argue it shouldn't even be accepted today, but
no.
It's being pushed.
Well, that was his anger. That was the Zionist regime that did it. And that mm-hmm. was his anger because they mm-hmm. destroyed the culture.
They destroyed the culture. And so, but here's the thing is like he actually instituted that. Does this make sense? So it was kind of a Trojan horse where he instituted the culture disruption and then came in and said, I'm here to save you.
He set the house on fire and then came as a firefighter.
Exactly. So there's another piece of history. Look this up, Andrew and Isabel, when you guys get a second. It's called The Night of the Long Knives. You'll hear about this. And it was the night that the stormtroopers, they just went out and caused all sorts of havoc all over Germany, mainly in Berlin. And these guys, you wanted to talk about radicals. These guys were radicals. So if we had to compare the radicals of that time to radicals of our day, what would you guys say are some radicals that we're seeing today? What's some radical movements that we're seeing today that go completely against, I don't want to say the norm, but goes completely against morals, completely against God's laws, and completely against the fundamental truths that we know to be true?
I'd say like a lot of doctors almost, like, because they're like pushing the COVID standards and saying like, if you're coughing, stay home. Like, coughing isn't always COVID. They just like to put those things. They want to have power. They want to control us. So they're making us think it's a big deal. I don't know. Personally, COVID, like, it's all whack to me. But like, I would say like those kind of people, like people high up doctors.
Did I mention she's my daughter? Did I mention that?
And the vaccine, like,
yeah,
those kind of people.
Yeah, just I forgot to let you guys know. We have to be careful when we use the C word and the V word.
Okay? Yeah.
Yeah, so
they don't like your YouTube land.
Yeah, they don't like us. YouTube doesn't like when we talk about stuff like that. So we'll have to be careful about that. But Andrew, so Isabel talked about, you know, the medical community pushing unstandard norms. What would you say, Andrew?
A lot of social media will push things that are just bad. It's kind of disgusting. Yeah.
Okay. So what do you mean by disgusting?
Well, they try to normalize like pornography and
there you go.
They try and push on people that, oh, it's okay to be gay. It's not you, it's just who you are. And Black Lives Matters and all the other stuff. It's like they're just trying to push it on people and make it seem like, oh, it's okay for all this stuff when it's really not.
Yeah. So I would I'd like to piggyback on that a little bit. And let me just back up and just preface this, because I don't want anybody to take this conversation out of context. I, for one, my personal belief is I take more of a libertarian approach. So a libertarian approach is, I'm going to do me, you do you, leave me the heck alone.
Right.
That's kind of where I'm at. And I'll leave you the heck alone. You believe and do whatever you want to do. I don't care. If you're a man and you want to marry another man, more power to you. If you're a woman and you want to marry another woman, go right ahead. I don't care. Where I take an issue is when people start trying to push their beliefs onto me to make me accept something that I don't believe. It doesn't mean I don't, just because I don't believe it doesn't mean I have a problem with you doing it. You're welcome to do whatever you want as long as you leave me alone and as long as it doesn't infringe on any of my God-given rights. So to piggyback on what Andrew's saying, if there's a movement today that is taking a similar approach to what the brown shirts did, I would dare say it's this entire movement that we're seeing that is being pushed in schools all across this country that revolves around pedophilia, drag shows, the trans movement, all of this.
Oh, the furries.
The furries.
In his school was crazy.
Oh, my old school. That's also another reason why I left. I just couldn't handle it.
Yeah. And there's multiple sides to that, because first of all, that's a very satanic, it's a very satanic ideology, the transgender, because you've got Baal, who is half man, half woman, half animal, half human. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the Communist Manifesto to disrupt your mind, the gaslighting, the debauchery. It's all part of demoralization. So it's, you know, they're throwing everything at us to get control and to capture the children, the next generation. So smart young kids like you that see it and aren't fooled, you know.
Yeah. Well, and I think homeschooling also gave me some time to kind of fix my mind so that I wouldn't be adjusted as easily as I would have, because public school is meant to build you up, but it can also tear you down.
Yes.
In certain ways. So kind of building my mind up, knowing what was right and what's wrong, in like public school systems and all that kind of helped me, to move forward in order to go back to public school.
Mm-hmm. Good. You know, and that's a good point that you bring up there is it's really difficult to be the one or one of the few people in your school that's standing on your principles. Cause gosh, you guys at your age, peer pressure is just right there. Mm-hmm. Everybody else in the class, everybody else in your grade, everybody else in the school is doing this or believing this or backing this. Then why aren't you? What's the matter with you?
Right.
Are you a hater? Are you a racist? Are you all of these things? Right. So, Isabel, you were shaking your head when we said furries. Are you seeing furries at school?
A few of them, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So crazy.
They have litter boxes in the bathroom for them yet?
Thankfully not. I would leave if there were.
The mental, they want to drive people crazy. The gaslighting is insane. But, you know, standing in God and saying, I refuse to, like James said at the beginning, accept your, you know, mental illness. I don't want to be a part of it. And no one can force me to. And
yeah. Silence in the face of evil is evil itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if we do not stand up and say something, so I don't want to, again, I don't want to harp on the LGBTQ plus IAA, whatever those acronyms are. I don't want to harp on that. That's not what this podcast is about. That's not what this broadcast is about. So please do not take this in the wrong context. I know I'm going to have the haters out there. You guys are going to say what you want to say. That's fine. I don't care.
Those will be trolls, because everybody that I know that is gay and has just wanted to live a normal life has left the LGBTQ. They know it's been usurped and they know that it's evil. So
I would say that too. I have a good friend. Actually, Isabel knows this woman. She knows her son. I'm not going to say her name. I'm not going to say his name, but she knows who I'm talking about. She's a friend of mine. She's a fellow basketball referee. I've known her for a while. and Isabel and her son were good friends for a little while. You remember this kid, Isabel, up in North Ogden?
I don't know. Yes, who you're
now you'll remember. Yeah, you have. Let's just say this: we took a picture of you two after one of your junior high basketball games. Yes, you know who I'm talking about.
I do.
Yeah.
Know.
So his mom, you know, she's in a same-sex marriage, and she's one of the coolest people I know. But she doesn't subscribe to like what you're talking about, this whole push this movement, things that just defy logic, things that defy God's law. Now, this ridiculousness that some of these individuals in the medical profession that are buying into, that when a baby is born, I can't tell you what gender it is because we haven't asked the child. Again, if you need to know what or how many genders there are, I will refer you to Kindergarten Cop.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And mm-hmm. Isabel's never seen that, so she doesn't know what I'm talking about. Andrew, have you ever seen that movie?
I have not.
You haven't seen that movie? I'm not gonna say it, but there's basically Arnold Schwarzenegger gets roped into becoming a kindergarten teacher for a little bit. He's an undercover cop, and there's this snarky little kid who says the funniest thing about what is a boy and what is a girl. So I'm just going to say that, and we'll leave it at that. Yeah. You guys can search it on YouTube. I'm sure that scene's out there.
I'm going to have to say goodbye, you guys.
Okay.
Nice meeting you, kids.
Thanks.
Nice to meet you.
Thanks, bye, Justice. Erica. Take care.
All right. Enjoy your weekend, everybody.
Yeah, you too. So that's what I would say. If we're looking at history, and if we're looking at a repeating history, if we don't call out evil for what it is, and if we don't stand up now and put a stop to it, then we're headed for the same thing that happened in Nazi Germany. What ultimately happened in Nazi Germany? Adolf Hitler took power. The first thing he did was outlaw every citizen from owning a firearm, because he knew citizens that were armed could not be dealt with. So they took firearms away from everybody. Once he did that, he started taking away other fundamental rights, the right to worship as you saw fit. What did we see? Millions of Jews being ushered into Holocaust camps. He basically, it's if you didn't follow or agree with what I say, you're an enemy of the state and you were put to death. That's essentially what it is. We need to call out these things for what they are. Fascism, socialism, communism have killed more people in human history than any war or the totality of all wars combined. Let's say that again. Communism, socialism, fascism, they have killed more people than any wars in the totality of wars that we in our modern day have ever known. Hundreds of millions of people have been killed because they didn't believe or they chose not to believe a specific way. So I don't want to see that happen to our generation. I don't want to see that to happen to my children, to my daughter, or to her friends, or to anybody else for that matter. So
James, let me ask you a question too, because Andrew and I were talking about this when we're talking about history, right? What kind of encouragement can we give to either homeschoolers or just parents who are trying to supplement, because they don't teach true history in schools. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure that I don't know how much of any history we can get that we can trust, because there's probably 10 different views on what actually happened in Nazi Germany. We weren't there mm-hmm. to see it. So how do we find reliable sources that teach history? Because you're right, if we don't know it, it'll continue to repeat itself, but it's so obscured, and they mm-hmm. definitely don't offer it freely to the children to know. Like, they don't even teach the Declaration of Independence in schools.
Oh, I know.
They couldn't possibly, because the kids would start to wake up and realize, wait a second, that's like exactly what's going on right now.
Exactly.
If they're following the news at all, but they're not, they're swiping on their phones.
Yeah. Like,
They just, I don't know, they've got the children so sucked in into a world that they want you to be in. How do we get them out with knowing and teaching good history. Do you have some good references for that?
Yeah, I would say, and we've talked about this before, but one of my favorite sources is Prager University, PragerU. So that's Dennis Prager is his name. He gets people from all over different backgrounds, and they talk about specific events. They talk about certain rights. They talk about certain things. And he puts it in a fashion that's easily understood, and that you can follow quickly with. So there's that one. There's, why is it not coming to mind? American Heritage. Is that what I'm thinking of? American Heritage. Does that sound right, Erica? Or,
I'm not familiar with it.
I can't remember. Oh, it's going to drive me nuts, but I'm, those of you who are watching the video or listening to this, drop a comment if you remember. There's free classes that are available for homeschoolers that talk about the true history and the founding of our nation and things of that nature.
Oh, Hillsdale? Are you talking
Hillsdale? Yes, Hillsdale? Thank you. That's what I was thinking of. Hillsdale College. Yes.
I take courses on Hillsdale.
Yes. Yes. And what have you learned so far? What, I mean, have there been things you've learned at Hillsdale that you're like, I remember we covered this in school, but they didn't say this.
Oh, for sure. It's I started taking I did a course on the King David story, and I started taking one on the Constitution, and I was watching some of the videos, and I was like, this would have been useful to know in school. Well,
the one about about why Congress doesn't work, that one too, and just learning about how laws are made and when technically we're under the jurisdiction of, you know, but they don't teach anything about like the difference between the Republic
and
the democracy, the corporate democracy that we're currently seeing. Mm-hmm. That's just kind of like a big picture that some people would say is conspiracy theory, but they're incorporated. The state of Indiana is a corporation that has a number. And so then when we're talking about, you know, he also has a workbook where he does the Indiana State Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And the what he's learning in that book is different from what you'll learn if you go into any one of the courts here, because it's not the same. It's not the same body of people that we're talking about.
Yeah.
The Republic is designed to protect your rights and to go according to the Constitution. The corporation was designed to go according to their statutes and bylaws, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big picture. And so I don't know anybody who teaches that. That's just something that we've come by to start understanding through different avenues of study. But so that's why I'm looking for the person who comes up with a really great course on stuff like that is.
Well, I mean, that's the, again, we've been indoctrinated. We've been ingrained to believe that is our government. We've been indoctrinated and we've been led to believe that if you're pulled over by a police officer, given a ticket, you're in an actual court of law. And nothing could be further from the truth. That's not a court of law. That's an administrative court. They are processing you administratively. Well, we as the people, like the banner behind my head says, we the people, we're not subject to administrative policies, because remember, the Constitution does not grant rights and privileges. The Constitution secures them. The Constitution is a contract, and that this is the reason why elected servants and others are required to swear an oath to the Constitution. They are bound by those contract terms. But do they follow those terms? No, they don't. And they do it under the color of law, as if it's the law. They do this all the time, just like you guys said. So this is why I think it's crucial that we look into things like that, like Hillsdale College, like Prager University. I love the reason why I bring up Prager University is he's got a mobile app, and the videos are usually like 2 or 3 minutes long. And it's on specific things about what we're seeing in today, other things of that nature. So it's really good. And especially for you kids, for Isabel and for Andrew, it's really easy for you guys to be able to share that with your friends or on your social media, because it talks about things in a non-threatening way, and it opens up the conversation for your friends to go, wow, I didn't know that. Because I'm willing to bet if you guys were to walk down the halls of your schools, like Isabel, if you went to school today and you were to ask five people, just random people in the hall, and you said, hey, what form of government do we have here in the United States? What do you think they would say?
They'd probably just stutter and not know, honestly.
They either wouldn't know, or if they did know, they would probably say a democracy, right? That's not the form of government we had. Because remember, a democracy is the majority rules. So the founders in their wisdom knew we can't have a democracy, because if the majority of the people believe this way, there's going to be a number of other people who don't, and their rights are going to be trampled on. You see this all the time. The news media outlets, elected officials who don't have a flipping clue and shouldn't be where they are because they think we're in a democracy. We're not. So if ever you hear somebody say the fate of our democracy is at stake, I would say, good. This is not a democracy, nor should it be. And if the fate of our democracy is at stake, good. It needs to come down, and we need to get back to the constitutional republic that we are.
And the only way that we can do that is to hold them accountable to what they're supposed to be doing. If Correct. They're pretending to be our government, mm-hmm. then we're going to let them know what their rules are.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't do that, then they get away with whatever it is they're trying to do because you don't know your rights.
Yes.
And that's why I'm doing my darndest to learn it myself and to teach it to my children so that they can see what's coming.
Yeah. This is why, you know, I'm so passionate about staying true to constitutionally sound principles. And I'll give you guys a quick example, and then we're going to wrap things up here so we can get the kids off to school, give them back their day. So you guys know that I recently filed a lawsuit against my county because they are trying to take property taxes from me, from my private property. And they're claiming they can do that because there's a constitutional principle that says property taxes are constitutional. So I filed a lawsuit. The attorneys on the other side, I'm not sure they can read or comprehend, because they took my complaint and they filed a motion to dismiss based on two things. They filed a motion to dismiss saying that the court doesn't have subject matter jurisdiction. Hold that thought. And they filed a motion to dismiss saying I failed to state a claim for relief. Basically, what they're saying is that as a taxpayer, I didn't state a claim for relief. Do you remember what my entire basis of my complaint was, Erica?
That you're not a taxpayer.
That I'm not a taxpayer. My gosh.
Yeah, their whole argument is built on the assumption that you are a taxpayer, and that this is why all the rules you've broken are because you're a taxpayer. And you're saying, wait, I'm not a taxpayer. So
exactly. Because again, bar licensed attorneys swim in the sea of statutes. Okay. Statutes are what the men and women in every state's Congress and the federal Congress, that's what they write down on a piece of paper. They all vote on, they send it to the next chamber, they all vote on it, and then they send it to either the president or the governor to sign into law. That is a statute. Statutes are meant to govern the operations of the government. No statute can control our actions if it violates or contradicts any of our rights. Every state's constitution specifically specifies we all have a right to acquire, possess, and protect property. Okay, so Erica, if I have a right to own property, can the government tax that right?
I don't think so.
No, you're correct. They cannot. They cannot. There is Supreme Court decisions, multiple decisions, that say a right cannot be converted into a privilege and charged for a tax. Can't do it. Okay? So these attorneys in the case that I'm in now are trying to pull me back into the sea of statutes, and they want to make me think or argue based on those sets of laws, not on the highest law of the land, which is, what's the supreme law of the land, Isabel? The supreme law of the land, the Constitution? Yeah. Remember, sometimes some people listen to us on the on podcasts, so you have to talk.
Oh, yeah.
So the United States Constitution and your state's constitutions are the supreme law of the land. Attorneys can't win there. And they know that, which is why they want to pull you down to the statutory side of things. Okay, so in my case, they filed a motion to dismiss. I filed a reply that said, hello, did you read my complaint? I'm not a taxpayer. I asked for evidence from you guys that I was. You provided no evidence, so therefore I am not a taxpayer. If you're stating I am, provide the evidence. Andrew, guess what they didn't supply? Just take a guess.
Nothing.
They don't have anything. They got nothing. So I recently filed a motion, and I'm going to put it up on the screen here, because when you look at the rules, what does Dr. Graves say, Erica, about the rules of the court?
You have to move the court.
Okay, but what does he specifically say about the rules?
The rules, I don't know what? Specifically what the rules rule.
The rules rule. There you go. The rules rule. Okay. So when you look at the rules, and here's what I love about the rules. A lot of people in the patriot mythology world, well, the rules of civil procedure don't apply. They don't apply to us men and women, because per the rules of the common law, they don't apply. You need to read the rules, because when you look at the way that these are enumerated, these are our due process rights written out so it's clear as day for everyone to see. All right? So we have to make sure we call that out to the court's attention. So that's what I did. So these guys want to dismiss my case because they say that the court lacks subject matter jurisdiction. Well, guess what I found, Erica? What did I find, Erica? Right here under this.
Yeah, a federal rule of civil procedure that shows differently.
Exactly. So under Rule 12, I have a right to ask for a hearing, and the court must grant me that hearing prior to dismissing this action. Additionally, I found court case precedent, which is also known as case law, that says if the court dismisses my action without granting me certain privileges, like what I'm about to talk about, then the court errors. It commits what's called abuse of discretion. So I filed this motion on Wednesday. So let's say Friday. So Wednesday. And I said, I'm asking the court to grant me this hearing because the defendants are asking for a dismissal because the court lacks subject matter jurisdiction, or in the alternative, that I've failed to state a claim. And then I said, this motion is based on the records, evidence, pleadings, and the supporting affidavit filed by the plaintiff with his pleading, because I submitted an affidavit, right? Isabel, how many times do you hear me talk about affidavits?
A lot.
All the time, right? Okay. So what do we do in our motions? We point out the points and authorities as to why the court should grant our motion. So the first point, the federal rules of civil procedure require a hearing. This is what 12I says. If a party so moves, any defense listed in Rule 12B 1 through 6, whether made in a pleading or by motion, and a motion under Rule 12C, must be heard and decided before trial, unless the court orders a deferral until trial. Okay? When you see the words heard, that is a hearing. The court must hold a hearing. So then I go on further and I say, where the defendants are moving this court to dismiss this action primarily on the defense of lack of subject matter jurisdiction, the plaintiff's due process rights require, at a minimum, that this court hold a hearing to determine the facts challenged by defendant's motion.
Oh.
And then I found this wonderful case law from the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals, which is the court of appeals that I'm in. And this is what it says. When a defendant moves to dismiss for lack of jurisdiction, either party should be allowed discovery on the factual issues raised by that motion. Although a district court has discretion in the manner by which it resolves an issue of subject matter jurisdiction under Rule 12b-1, a refusal to grant discovery constitutes an abuse of discretion if the denial results in prejudice to a litigant. So if the court grants their motion and dismisses my case, that constitutes an abuse of discretion because it would prejudice me, because I can prove with factual evidence that I am not a taxpayer. They cannot prove that I am. Prejudice is present where pertinent facts bearing on the question of jurisdiction are controverted, or where a more satisfactory showing of the facts is necessary.
So you've got them in a little pickle here. They're peeing their pants right now.
So the opposing attorney shot himself in the foot. And I'm going to reach out to them via email here shortly and see if they want to reconsider their motion again. Because since they filed this under 12b-1, it requires discovery, and it's required that they prove that I'm a taxpayer.
You warned them, you called them, and you told them, I think it's a good idea for you to do this, and they did it anyway.
Yep, I did. So here's the other interesting thing. When a defendant attacks a pleading, and they're saying that the court lacks subject matter jurisdiction, there's the way the courts look at that is one of two ways. Either it's a facial attack or a factual attack, and I'll explain what that means. And I said, the defendants, by and through their counsel, have asserted that the court lacks subject matter jurisdiction to hear this case. It is unclear whether this attack is a facial attack or a factual attack, as within their motion to dismiss, they claim plaintiff stated no factual allegations, yet failed to support those claims with any evidence to support those assertions. Similarly, they state numerous times that the plaintiff failed to assert any factual allegations, which would suggest that this is not a facial attack. So again, I find more case law here in the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals. A party filing a 12b-1 motion to challenge the court's subject matter jurisdiction through a facial or factual attack. This is what a facial attack means. A facial attack assumes the allegations in the complaint are true and argues they fail to establish jurisdiction.
A stall tactic.
Correct. A factual attack goes beyond the allegations in the complaint and adduces evidence to contest jurisdiction. So it's one or the other. Either they assume my allegations are true and the court still lacks jurisdiction, which I've already proven is that can't happen. Because if they assume the allegations in my complaint are true, this court has jurisdiction to hear my case.
Right.
So it's not a facial attack. All right, so we set that one aside. A factual attack goes beyond the allegations and adduces evidence. Okay, so now they're saying that the allegations are not true and they would bring in evidence to support that. They have brought no evidence to support that. So I've said, seeing that the defendants failed to submit to this court any evidence in support of their factual claims and deny in a roundabout way plaintiff's factual claims, this court is required to hold a hearing to allow both parties the opportunity to present admissible evidence in support of their positions, which thus may require discovery. Uh-oh. So here's what I'm asking. This court should order a Rule 26F conference and that defendants be required to answer the pleading. So 26F is the rules of discovery. And the parties are required to confer to submit their discovery plan, what they're going to ask for, what they want. I've already got most of everything I need. I can prove my case with just my complaint. But both parties,
they're going to have to bring on like five more lawyers just to deal with it.
Yes. But they're going to have to submit those positions. So given that the rules of civil procedure, as well as multiple decisions from the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals, require discovery and a hearing, this honorable court should order that the parties convene for their 26F conference for discovery, and that within 14 days after this conference, the defendants be required to answer the plaintiff's complaint, as their answer will go to the heart of the factual contentions contained within their motion. Then I state here, the district court must permit a full development of all the facts before making a determination of jurisdiction.
Good.
Okay. So that's how we bring these people back. That's how we get them back into where they need to be and where we want to be. So here's my next move. I'm going to send an email to the attorneys today, and I'm just going to say, hey, gentlemen, given that it looks like you're making a factual challenge to the court's jurisdiction here, I would ask that we hold some type of a conference or something of that nature to determine what evidence you plan to present in support of your positions. So
I love it.
And then that way we can get back to the court on this. So any questions about that?
It just goes to show how important it is to learn the rules of the game better. I mean, it's just like, it's like your brother's asking you to play Monopoly with them, and then you don't know the rules to Monopoly, so they dominate you and they like crush you and they end up with all your property because you don't know anything. But if you study the rules and you study the strategy and then you go back to the game table, then it's like,
yeah,
a different game.
It's hard to play Monopoly with my brothers.
Yeah, it's, none of us like to do it. They're power hungry.
I
crazy.
Love it, but they just take too long.
Isabel, what do I say about basketball referees who don't know the rules?
They really need to read the rule book because there's refs that don't know what they are doing, and it's so annoying.
Yeah, because haven't you know, when I was coaching you, how did I teach you to play the game? You remember?
Give it my all.
Yeah, well, yeah, but what did I specifically told you and your teammates what the rules were and how referees look at certain plays, right? So I taught you to play the game according to the rules as I know them, being a 15-year veteran referee. So I know the rules. And so it frustrates me beyond anything else than when we send our kids out to play a game and those that are there to enforce the rules of the game don't know those rules. Would it shock any of you that this happens in our courts of justice as well? No.
I thought those lawyers are going to have to go look up a lot of those references because they don't know them.
Oh, absolutely.
In any trade, like, there are medicines that I would come across as a nurse that I'd never even heard of before. So before absolutely. I give it, you need to know what the side effects are. You know, it's not...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's important to know.
Here's, if we can boil down these things, the way to win your case in any court matter is the party that has admissible evidence that proves their point will win. You may not win at the trial court. You might have to go through, like, especially if you're in one of these stupid municipal courts, you might have to go through two or three of these song and dance or these pony shows before you get to an adult in the room at the appellate court level where they're like, what are you idiots doing? This guy's got the evidence right here. It specifically says this. The law says this. Judgment in favor of this guy. Okay? We have to make sure we do that. So with that, I'm going to wrap things up. Isabel, Andrew, any questions, anything you guys want to ask before we go? Or are you like, oh, please, can we end this? Can we get out of here?
I don't have any questions, no.
No?
So. Not that I can think of right now anyways. I'm sure I do have some. But...
I'm sure you'll come up with some, yeah. But I know you. You'll ask me. What's that, Andrew?
That's why I have her.
That's why you've got her. You've got a great mom right there, Andrew and Erica. She's doing a good job, so... well, wonderful, you guys. Thank you so much for joining us again. We have a great show next Friday. Erica has worked really hard behind the scenes to secure a guest, right, Erica? Am I wrong? Yeah. So we have Brent Johnson coming on. He's the author of The American Sovereign, which is a great book. I actually have it sitting right over here.
That's one of Andrew's textbooks that we
There used. It is, The American Sovereign. So we talk about everything. And this is where, you know, it gets difficult for people to understand these things, right? So, I don't have a problem sharing this. I'm actually starting a new job on Monday with a new company. Really excited about it. And, you know, they sent me all of the documentation for my new hire packet, and one of those was a W-4. So I sent back to them my W-4 that says, don't withhold anything. I will pay all my own taxes. They haven't said anything so far, so hopefully we're good. But if I need to explain it to them, I will. I was like, there's no law that requires me as one of the people to pay taxes. United States Code 26 USC doesn't state anywhere in there that one of the citizens of the many states is required to pay taxes. The only people who are employees of the federal government.
Right.
So, again, this is a big misconception, and they try to bully employers into thinking, well, if you don't withhold, we're going to fine you this, we're going to fine you. They can't do that either. So, this is why it's crucial we know and understand our rights, and I'm going to teach my children this going forward. So by the time Isabel hits the workforce, she'll never have to pay a dime in taxes.
Right.
She'll never have to pay a dime in property taxes.
Right.
She's going to be set for life because she won't be a slave to the government.
Right.
So, with that, you guys, I'm going to sign us off. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode. Man, this has been I can't believe it's almost October. Where is this year gone? I see so many good things happening. So thank you, guys. Anything you want to say before we head off, Erica?
No, just take every opportunity to write the truth of, well, there's a Bible verse that specifically says about writing like on their foreheads, almost, the things that you're trying to teach them. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. If we have to say it 10 times, what the First Amendment is, I got to do that for myself. I have to read things 40 times before I absorb it sometimes. And I wasn't taught history, and all of this law stuff is all new for me over the last couple of years. And I feel like I should know a lot more than I do, but I'm just trying to become patient with myself and to learn what I know and to teach it on to the next generation. So I just want to encourage everyone out there, if you have children in your care, whether they're your own children or nieces and nephews or just neighbors,
mm-hmm.
this is how we grow and move forward, is we teach our children the truth.
Amen. And that brings me to this point here. Justin just wanted to make sure that I shared this. So you said writing the amendments on your forehead. Why not just wear it on a T-shirt?
Oh, okay.
We now have up on our Etsy store the Second Amendment T-shirt. We have the First Amendment T-shirt as well. The plan is to do this for each of the 10 amendments. They're $30, as you guys can see. You guys, this money, donate.
You're cutting off, Dad.
Yeah, your microphone's going out.
Oh, is that better?
Yeah.
I guess I moved away from my microphone. So anyway, what I wanted to say is that this is our Etsy store here. Just jump onto Etsy, search for the Justice Revolution. We'll put the link in the description below the video for those of you on YouTube so you guys can see it. But again, that's one way of being able to quote unquote wear it on your forehead. So with that, thank you, Isabel. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate you guys for joining us. We'll let you guys get back to your busy days of being teenagers, because it's rough. I get it. It's hard to believe, but I was a teenager at one point in time. Shocker. I know. That's tough. So anyway, with that, you guys, I'm going to sign us off. Thank you so much for joining. We will see you guys next Friday. Take care, everyone.